Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition, Jack, of the High Hopes Podcast. The name...
You sure?
The name, ironic in itself, Jack. Irony itself. That this is the High Hopes Podcast because the hopes are not high right now, Jack. What an abysmal performance! What an embarrassing performance! We came into the season saying, "All right, 60 games, that tough schedule, all that BS," but you know what? They gotta handle the Orioles. They gotta handle the Marlins. One series against the Orioles this year. This is it. They're done. See ya. Good time playing the Orioles. They freaking swept us, Jack, like, and in an embarrassing fashion. The worst loss in forever in game one, just a boring, unlucky loss in game two, and then a shellacking tonight. Like, dude, I'm super annoyed. I'm super annoyed with this team right now. I'm beaten down.
You should be beaten down. They're just so bad. They're just so bad. And it's not like the starting staff's pretty good. And the thing that's most frustrating, I mean, there's a lot of things that are most frustrating, but like outside of JT and Bryce, it's like the offense is just brutal. This is credit to Johnny Heller, who
was fantastic. If you're a Phillies fan and you're not following Johnny Heller, you're making a mistake. He tweets out all kinds of great stat. Well, I guess great is probably not the word because a lot of times they've been telling us how bad our bullpen is or whatever, but he's really good at finding good nuggets and good stats and all that type of stuff. So great baseball guy.
So outside of JT and Bryce, their total team numbers are 230, 314, 381, and a 695 OPS.
Man, Jack.
And it's just like I came away really impressed with the Orioles this series. Like, definitely better than I thought.
Of course, but still.
Well, you got to factor in who they're facing, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're factoring
exactly.
in this.
I mean,
this,
like,
this.
Come on, man. Let's say just the average Phillies fan, not obviously the High Hopes listeners who are smart baseball fans and all that. But, I mean, even some listeners, I'm sure, and a lot of – I mean – the Orioles have a bunch of guys that no one has ever heard of, man. I mean, it is as nondescript a team to get swept by. Rio Ruiz is dominating. I mean, Pedro Severino's crushing it for him. Renato Nunez. I mean, it's a bunch of Austin Hayes. I mean, at least he had some pedigree, but...
I've never been more terrified of a hitter in my life than Hanser Alberto.
All of them. It's crazy.
Yeah, they crushed us all series, and I always felt like they were going to just get a hit when they needed to get a hit. Like, honestly, they look like the better team. I mean, that's
there's
like,
no
they just
question.
Look,
they were is, the which better
which
team.
Which is insane. How do you listen? All right, we've talked. All right, listen, we've talked about Matt Klentak a lot, but you have a $200 million payroll, and you just got blitzed by the Orioles at home. You're pitching a position player in the ninth inning of a game where you're getting blown out. Your two best prospects just came up, and everything after that is just like whatever. Like the bullpen area is like over 10 now. I'm pretty sure.
After like, a night, it has to be because it was in the high nines.
What is that dude still doing here? Like
which would that Jack? That could be like talking about 15 people right now.
But it's like, what are we serious right now? Like, are we serious with this baseball team? Like, you just got trounced at home by the Orioles. Like, how about we shake things up a little bit? I mean, hopefully you're gonna fire Klentak at the end of the year. And I was worried about how 60 games is gonna save his job because he can't accurately break down his job this season in 60 games. Well, that's just completely thrown out the window. It should be thrown out the window because this team's a freaking joke. I mean, there's no way you're gonna tell me that if Matt Klentak has a job next year, I hope John Middleton sells the team. There is no singular, like, honestly, Brian Colangelo is better at his job than
wow.
Freaking Matt Klentak.
I mean,
I would rather have Chip Kelly running my football team than Matt Klentak. He is so objectively stupid, and he's so bad at his job. Give me one person. Like, tell me one thing. His best trade might be for Jose Alvarez. Like,
no,
the
Jay Bruce trade is his best trade. But regardless, well, I mean, what are we talking
sweet,
about here?
Sweet,
exactly.
Sweet. We traded absolutely nothing. I mean, the JT Realmuto trade, anyone could have done that. Bryce Harper wasn't even him. Like, every single bullpen addition he's brought in is garbage. There's just why does he still have a job? Like I swear on my life, I could run this baseball team better than Matt Klentak. There is no doubt in my mind. Like how does someone who sits here and watches this every night continue to get paid a full salary is beyond me. What does Andy McPhail do? Should Andy McPhail be the objective overseer of this franchise and kind of be the eyes and ears for John Middleton? No, he can't even do that. So they brought in John Middleton to do that basically last year with Charlie Manuel. Like he can't even trust the guys that are below him. What is Matt Klentak doing here? And how can you look at everything that he's done and still send him a check every week and say, good job. You did it again, Matt. Nailed it. Get off of my franchise. Like, just get away. Get away from my franchise. Never come back. I just have no interest in him ever stepping. He should not be allowed inside Citizens Bank Park ever again. Never again. He should not even have a parking spot. They should make him park at the Jetro lot and walk every day. He is such a disaster. I can't. Every time I try not to think about Matt Klentak, I end up thinking about Matt Klentak, and it makes me like just want to take a fork and stick it in my eye.
Yeah, dude. So I'm obviously on the same page with you. All I've been saying on the radio all week is how it is 100% on Klentak. And look, Middleton too. Let's not let Middleton off the hook here because he's the guy who's allowed Klentak to stay around. Like, what is he doing? We all knew Klentak wasn't good enough. We were calling for his head last year, and yet he gave him a contract extension. He kept McPhail around after if we don't, we don't. He fired Gabe Kapler, hired Joe Girardi on his own, and still said, Matt Klentak, come on back, buddy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, like, it doesn't make any logical sense for a smart person, you know, and we assume John Middleton is a smart guy. I think he's a smart guy. To keep Matt Klentak around, like, it is, Jack, it's absolute insane. I was listening to Ruben Amaro Jr. doing the rain delay with Jim Jackson for a bit, and I was reminiscing about Ruben. I was like, man,
oh, no, we're not doing
Ruben
that.
Over Matt Klentak. Matt Klentak is. Klentak is a complete and total disaster. He is, again, like you said, just I can't believe he has a job. And I am praying that this, just because it's a 60-game season, doesn't mean it's going to keep his job. This bullpen is an abomination. I mean, we're talking about, like, look at teams like the Marlins. The Marlins are playing with a team that's half taxi squad, at least for a period of time, and their bullpen ERA is like 7 runs less than the Phillies. Like, what is that? That's crazy, man. Like, how is it? And to your point about the payroll of this team, I think it's 7th highest in baseball this year. Like, they are spending that much money. And yes, look, we want them to go over the tax, all that type of stuff. That's on Middleton. But at the same time, like, Matt Klentak, it's not like he didn't have anything to work with. And like, talk about teams like the Indians, the Rays, all these teams that year after year after year after year churn out prospects, sign smart contracts, are frugal with their money, and spend nowhere close to what Matt Klentak gets to spend. And every single year they contend. I mean, there are like 6 guys in the Indians bullpen who are better than anyone the Phillies have. Like, Jack, like, why is it so much easier for all these other teams to do this? It's because they have smart people running their franchise and the Phillies don't. Like, that's what it comes down to.
Well, dude, I mean, my main takeaway from the Orioles this weekend was, like, every one of their guys barreled up the baseball. You know, up and down the lineup, it was aggressive. It was, like, it was a style of baseball that I want to watch. Like, it is aggressive. It is jumping on first pitch fastballs. And they really seem to have an ability to consistently barrel the baseball. And when I watch the Phillies, it's like JT and Bryce. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, Kutch looks, I mean, Kutch has had some hits this series against the Orioles and look like he's kind of climbing out of it. I still think Reese is climbing out of it. I know everyone is, like, so ready to move on from Reese. And I mean, I get it. He's been brutal. I'm just not there yet. Like, Didi's even gone back. Like, Didi's one of those players, and I think we talked about this when they signed him. He's just such a streaky player that he'll be, like, the best player on earth for a week and then be terrible for a week and then be the best. And so he's going through one of those downstreaks right now. But what I saw from the Orioles, you know, they weren't – this is going to sound so old man on the cloud, but it's not all trying to launch everything. It's playing station to station. It's being a line drive gap to gap hitter versus just trying to launch everything. When I watch the Phillies, it's like they're just always playing for the home run, and they're instead of getting some guys on, moving some runners over, and trying to barrel up baseballs, going to the gap, line drives, and maybe sometimes they crank one out of the ballpark. Like, they're playing a better brand of baseball than the Phillies are playing offensively. And yeah, JT and Bryce have been amazing.
But and we'll like, talk more about them, but like, it's actually a shame. Like, I feel terrible. Like,
dude, we're wasting MVP, two MVP seasons.
They're both playing like MVPs legitimately. Like,
I mean, Bryce Harper's stats right now are way better than they were in his 2015 season. His 2015 season is one of the 7 best offensive seasons since like 1980. Like, we're talking about, we're witnessing what we signed Bryce Harper for. And James, the thing that I don't know if you've noticed it, and I'm sure there's a couple people that have noticed it, but doesn't he look visibly upset?
Of course he does. Like, I think it's blatant. Yeah, but I think JT does too. They both look like angry all the time. They both look like they're playing with an anger to them and like a a ferocity almost, where it feels like they almost have to do everything themselves, and they know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's talking, like, Bryce talked after the game the other night about, you know, everyone kind of has to step up and do their job, and that like, just in watching him, he looks almost exasperated. Like, he's like, are you guys kidding me?
Wouldn't you be? I mean,
oh my god. Honestly, he'd be a better GM than Klentak. I would rather have Bryce Harper.
Of course, at least he wants to win. Like, I don't even know if, like, again, I don't even know if Klentak likes baseball. Like, I don't know if he watches baseball. I it feels like he does everything by numbers, and there's no feel to anything he does.
Well, it's not even the right numbers. It's like,
well,
it's
that's
like
a problem.
Not even,
yeah, no, I'm not saying he's good. I'm not saying he's good at the numbers. And like,
we're getting freaking no spin rate and no high velocities in our bullpen in the year 2020. Like, what are we doing?
He's just not equipped. He's not equipped to run a Major League Baseball team. Look, some people just are in over their head. Matt Klentak's in over his head. question for you, though. Let me throw something at you, and we'll get back to Harper Romito, and obviously I think Klentak's just going to be a running theme throughout this podcast.
Well, until he's fired. Yeah, until he's
forever.
Fired.
Fire Klentak. That is the official High Hopes podcast. And granted, it hasn't been for a while, but like emphatic. It is now Fire Klentak in all capitals is the official position of the High Hopes podcast. But I want to ask you a question because I think the other part of it that's been a thing, and I think there are very varying opinions on it, and certainly the bullpen itself, I mean, that's, you know, that is a Matt Klentak production from top to bottom. But what culpability do you think Girardi has in what we've seen so far this season? Obviously, like, he is not at all in the roster. I'm not implying he has anything to do with the roster, but in terms of, look, this team is, we talked about the intensity, the lack of that we've seen, not just from Girardi, but from the team. But they've also played like a little league team at times. And it's not just the Segura thing. I mean, we've seen a bunch of stuff, like the Roman Quinn dive two out of three games or two nights in a row? I mean, diving for a ball he just had no chance at and letting extra runs in. And, you know, they just don't play good fundamental baseball. They don't, it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page. I don't know, a lot of the things we talked about, and granted, it's a weird summer camp thing, and, you know, I think it's just a weird season, and I don't know how much of an effect a new manager and a new staff can have, but we haven't seen a lot of the stuff we were excited to see from Girardi. How do you kind of feel about Girardi right now sitting at 5-9, and what kind of culpability do you think he has in, and granted, again, the bullpen is what it is, but in terms of what we've seen and their play.
Well, I hope he's watching a lot of Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker tape. And
dude, that was going to be the other open I was thinking for the pod, Inside Baseball, when I was going to do the yo and then go into and just say, Jack, who do we want with the number one pick? That was going to be my other angle on it, so...
Yeah, unfortunately, the Pirates have us beat there for now.
We're not beating the Pirates, I don't think.
For now. We might catch them soon.
Look, we're playing some pretty bad baseball right now. So.
Well, at least we're having fun doing it, right?
Not at all. It's delightful. Nope. There's no other team I'd like to stay up late at night to record a podcast about. It's really cool. Thanks, guys. It's awesome.
It is unbelievable that they've made me hate him, but we're here and that's what we'll do. Honestly, like, so with Girardi, the in-game moves don't really bother me. You know, I don't think he has a reliable first guy out of the bullpen, you know, and I don't really blame him for trying to find guys that can do the job. You know, people are annoyed at how much he's pitched Guerra, and I get it, but you have to figure out if guys can do jobs. And that's what sucks about a 60-game season is that, you know, you don't have 162 games to figure out who can do the job and who can't do the job. You have to almost figure out day to day who can do the job. So, you know, I don't want to kill him too much over that because I don't think it's really his fault. I mean, he's dealt a pretty crappy hand with the bullpen, but I am disappointed in the ferocity of this team. You know, it doesn't feel like, you know, when I was down in spring training and talking to the guys, it felt like there's a renewed energy and we're going to see this team scratch and claw. And they did scratch and claw in the game.
Yeah, the 10-9 game. The disastrous game. The one we will never forget. The game where after it, I tweeted that if we miss the playoffs by one game, that'll be the game we look back at and remember. That tweet won't matter because we're going to miss the playoffs by more than one game. So it doesn't really matter. But that was the one.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know.
No, look, you know what the funny thing is? I mean, they're only like 3.5 games out of first place in the NL East. Everyone's playing poorly right now.
Right. So yeah, and we're not playing taps yet.
No, of course not.
They're certainly.
I'm adding a little levity here, Jack.
Well, you know, I think everyone needs that at this point because it's not great. But yeah, I'm disappointed. In the, you know, intensity from this team. You know, and I understand it can be hard. Without any fans in the stands, but like you're at home, you've lost what, just 5 of 6 at home, like right, like that can't happen. And he does the Gabe thing where it's like, oh, this isn't a big deal, we'll go get him tomorrow. And I thought there was gonna be a little more of a sense of urgency from this team, and there just hasn't been. You know, I thought they were gonna come out after the confusing game on Tuesday night, or was that Wednesday? Whatever. It was Tuesday night. I thought they were going to come out after the game Tuesday night and just blow the doors off that Orioles team, because it just felt like, okay, we had that loss, but it's time to regroup and go after it. And then last night happened, and that was brutal. And then, like, honestly, heading into the game tonight, I was like, they're not going to win. Like, and that's disheartening to be at when you're facing an Orioles team who has lost 100 games the last 2 years. But nevertheless, I can't kill them. I honestly, and I know this sounds bad, but if I'm on that team and I see that bullpen come in, I almost feel like I would have no chance. So why would I get that fired up? You know what I mean? Like
that's how I feel as a fan, Jack. That's how I feel watching these games. Like when the Phillies get off to an early lead, whenever that happens, I can't enjoy it. Like I legitimately, as when I watch these games, I don't enjoy the leads because I know that it's coming. It's coming for us. And I'm sure the players feel that even on a subconscious level. Like, how could you not, man? How could you not? Every single time these guys come in, they blow it. So, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's seeped into the players' mindset. And they're like, dude, are you guys – can we just get an out? You know, it was, I think, the ninth tonight, and a ball's hit to the wall. And Bryce like ran right into the fence, and it ended up being a home run. And I feel like he just wanted to say, like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Like, are you like? I do wonder if Bryce is gonna kind of flip and go into Middleton and be like, you promise better than this. And
I hope maybe he does. That's the only hope we have right now. I mean,
well, and that's why, you know, I love to kill Middleton, because I think the whole luxury tax thing bothers me.
As it should. But you can't.
It should.
Because
it,
of it how, what, how he fronted himself. If Middleton never came on WIP, never talked to the media, wasn't around, and was just kind of the owner and pay, it wouldn't be a thing. But he's the one who came out and had to, you know, be like Mr. Big Shot and say all that stuff. We didn't ask him to say it. He said it. You can't say that stuff and not back it up. That's the problem.
Right, but my main point is that, like, this is a $200 million payroll.
Yeah, and that's why, and for it's this team, fault more than anybody.
Right, I mean, but for this team to be as bad as it is with a $200 million payroll, it's like, you know.
It's disastrous.
It's not this hard.
It's bad, man.
They could give you and I $200 million.
Of course.
I think we could
again,
figure it out.
Like, look at what the Rays do, like $50 million. I mean, the Indians, like, these teams don't spend money like the Phillies do. And yet they have no problem putting together not just competitive teams, but competitive teams year after year after year. And again, like, awesome bullpens. Like, look at the Rays bullpen. Look at the Indians bullpen. I mean, these it's just so frustrating, Jack, especially because you think, like, a bullpen shouldn't be the hardest thing to put together. It's just, how do they have no talent in their system? How do they have no guys who can come in and just get some outs? Like, you had a good tweet the other night where it's like, at least Rosso has stuff. And it's a great point, because, yeah, Rosso has stuff. He can throw hard. And, like, there's so many guys on this team who are just, I don't understand how they made it to the major leagues. I don't understand how they're on a major league roster. Seriously, like, how does Austin Davis get through the minors and, like, crack the majors, dude, and, like, pitching games? How does that happen?
How is he still here? Why is he still here? What has he done? Why is he still here? Austin Davis shouldn't sniff a major league bullpen. Like, maybe when he goes to a game and he's getting a hot dog but in an Ashburn Alley, he can sniff a major league bullpen. But not, like, real life. Like, this isn't real. Austin Davis is so – he's just the epitome of this baseball team. I hate him. And it's not like I hate him the man. I just hate him.
I hate him, too.
I hate what he embodies.
Yeah, sports hate. It's always sports hate. We don't hate them as people.
Every time he comes in, he sucks. Every single time. He's – like, why is he still here? Like, why is Damon Jones not on this roster? Like, bring him up. What are we wasting our time for? Austin Davis is the human embodiment of a waste of time. He's just a total waste of space. Also, JT after the game said about the signed JT stuff. He said, keep it up, guys.
Nice. That's awesome.
Like, can we just stop with – and but talk about screwing this up. I mean –
it's unbelievable.
It's going to – it's going to end up costing them like $40+ million than they had to because Cigar Man wanted to stay under the luxury tax.
It's unbelievable.
Like no one really brings that up. Like a couple people. Like no one really brings it up, but like this is the only reason this is freaking happening is because he wanted to stay under the freaking luxury tax. 100%.
That is like, the number. That is the exact reason. That's it.
And now he's what, 40 games for free agency, and it's just like we're just fine with this because Cigar Man says he wants to come out and get his effing trophy back, but he won't pay the best catcher in baseball to come back and stay and never leave, and the best catcher in baseball is responding with having an MVP season. Like it's just this. Oh God, it's just like how is this happening? How is it even happening? How do you let this happen?
Well, it's the thing that we know, and it's the age old thing. Like it all starts at the top and goes down. If you have bad ownership, if you have a bad front office, and especially if you, and I'm not saying Middleton will always be a bad owner, but right now he's a bad owner. He's allowing Matt Klentak to continue to do damage to this team. He has, again, like you just said, put them in a situation where they did not sign JT Romito for a ridiculous reason, especially when it's also the reason they didn't add a Blake Treinen or a Dellin Betances or any of these relievers, or even didn't keep Francisco Liriano. I mean, that's crazy to me that was not a bigger story. Like, what are we talking about here? This bullpen, what we're looking at, and that they were just like, we don't want to pay you. I mean, what is that? What is that? Does this team care at all? I mean, this is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2011, Jack. And their owner came out and swung it around and was like, I'm the man. You're gonna love me. And sorry, buddy, we don't so far. You know, do better.
Hey, Branch Rickey never had this kind of off season. Just shut up, man. Just shut up. Just stop talking. You know, just shut up, and no one will care. Just go away. Spend your money. Use your cigar money, and just build a better baseball team and get a freaking real general manager. I mean, just literally, you know, honestly, I was thinking back to the Klentak hiring this week, and because I got sad thinking about if Haim was here. I mean, Haim could have been here in 2015.
He's one of the finalists.
And if we had a podcast back then, and you're telling me that we signed a guy from the Angels who at that point had Mike Trout, they just signed Albert Pujols to like a $200 million contract or whatever, $300 million contract. And we're just absolutely headed nowhere. Like, why did they even hire him? Like, look, was there something inspiring about what the Angels built? Like, the Angels have been wasting the best players, one of the best players in the history of baseball's career, and we just decided, you know what? He's going to come run our franchise now. Like, what was that thought process? Why did he even get the job? Like literally, how about this for a comparison? He's building the Angels. Like, that's pretty much what he's doing here. What was that thought process?
It's actually a really good point. I mean, the Phillies right now aren't any better than the Angels. Like,
and then it's not Tony Rendon, and they have Trout, and you know, Dylan Bundy's had a nice resurgence out there. But like, I'm talking about, look at the freaking Angels from, you know, 5 years ago.
This is very depressing, Jack. Like, I'm really depressed right now. Like, this sucks.
They just got swept at home by the Orioles. I know, but like, what are we doing
here? Like you said, the Orioles were the better baseball team. We were talking about, like, the lack of ferocity, which, by the way, I agree with you. That's definitely my biggest complaint with Girardi. I think he's a little too obsessed with De Luis Guerra, who is, you know, 31 years old and hasn't pitched much in the majors over that time, you know, the many years he's been in professional baseball for a reason, but whatever. I don't blame Girardi. He's got crap out there to work with you know, he's just going out and saying, all right, let's spin the bottle and see who's next. But, talk about ferocity. I mean, how can you talk about no fans, whatever, like how can an Orioles team come in here? A team that had zero expectations, is a bunch of castoffs, and they play with such ferocity. They played so much more. Nice one. They played so much with so much more intensity than the Phillies did. It wasn't even close, other than JT and Harper. I mean, man, I hate this team right now. I tweeted during the, I think the second game, I hate the Orioles. I hate the Phillies right now, Jack. That's how I feel. I'm so mad at this team. Like, it just, it sucks, man. Because, like you said, the starting pitching's actually been good. I mean, for the most part. I know Arrieta wasn't great tonight, but he had a, you know, couple nice starts. Eflin, I got really unlucky. I thought he looked awesome at times the other night. Like, you know, it's been good enough. This bullpen is historically bad. In the history of baseball, it is one of the worst bullpens we've ever seen, certainly up to this point, and I don't expect it to get much better. Jack, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, and what I think what sucks the most is that the city's already starting to turn on them. And like, it's just, it's hard to build up. It's hard to build up, I guess, the equity in a fan base when, you know, the first 10 games or 13 games of the season, you're just seeing the worst bullpen you've ever seen in your entire life. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Like, and I'm starting to feel it too. You know, I'm just starting to feel apathetic. I'm starting to turn on TV and be like, all right, you know, let's slog through another one.
Especially when there's a team in this city that is the polar opposite of the, I mean, this Flyers team is joyful to watch, and they're young talent through the roof. They're coached so well, and they're, I mean, like, how could anyone want to watch the Phillies if the Flyers were on at the same time? Like, I mean, I wouldn't. I have two TVs, but I would never choose the Phillies over the Flyers right now.
Yeah, gotta never lie to the High Hopes listeners, and never will, especially not in these dark times, because I think that would build bad trust. But the Flyers were on TV1 the other night. I mean, they were on TV1, and
they should have
the
been.
Were on my laptop.
Me too.
I know.
They should have been.
I couldn't be more jealous of Flyers fans. Yeah. Like people have really gone through it. You know, because like, this is how the Phillies are supposed to be built. You know, like the Flyers just have young dudes everywhere. Like Nolan Patrick's not even playing for this team. He's number two pick in the draft.
That's a great point.
Like,
what, he's not even three years ago.
Yeah, and there's like 1,000 young dudes, like
including like the youngest, best of all of them at the most important position in the sport. It's like crazy.
Yeah. So are we a Flyer? Are we officially a Flyers podcast now?
Fly Hopes? Can we call it Fly Hopes?
Well, at least Bryce is having an MVP season.
Yeah.
JT's gonna be on the Mets next year.
All right. Let's talk about a couple more specific things, because obviously.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean.
You sure?
I mean, I didn't say fun things.
Just things, not fun things.
Recent cool. Kingery. Where you at? Obviously, tonight was the first night they both sat. Which was welcome, even though obviously it didn't end up working out or mattering. But where are you at with these guys? Do you have any hope this season, at least, for these guys to turn it around?
There we go. I still feel good about Reese. And I know that sounds crazy to say, and heresy.
Not heresy. It just sounds silly.
But he's been smoking the ball. You know, I understand he grounded some double plays the other night, but at least he's swinging early in counts, and I think he's starting to square up the baseball more and more. Slowly, I think he's slowly climbing his way out of it. I really do. I'm not at the point where a lot of people are saying bench Reese and play Bohm there. You know, I want to see give him 2 weeks. I want to give him 2 weeks. I like the swings I've seen recently. I just want to give him a chance. Kingery, I am just praying that he's still, like, maybe feeling some side effects from COVID, because he just looks awful. Like, he's not even putting together, like, at least I think Reese is hitting the ball hard. I mean, Kingery's not even hitting the ball hard. I mean, he had one decently looking good hit against the Orioles that got into the gap that was fine. But, like, the defense isn't even special. It's just – he just looks, like, truly, truly awful. And I'm very worried about Kingery. I don't know. They're both just not fun at all. Wow. So
no, I think that leads into a poll that when I put it up, I thought I would be in a much more fun, playful mood to discuss, but we got to discuss it anyway. Reese, I put up a poll. Who would you want up in a big spot most right now? Reese Hoskins, Scott Kingery, or Andrew Knapp? What do you think the correct answer is, and also what do you think won the poll?
Ah, oh, it's Nappy, right? It has to be Nappy.
That won in a landslide. 67% of people, 22% for Hoskins, 11% for Kingery. Jack, wash my mouth out with soap. This, like, pain on so many levels. Andrew Knapp's the correct answer. I'd rather have Andrew Knapp up right now than Reese Hoskins or Scott Kingery, Jack.
Yep.
Wow.
Never a doubt.
I can't, like, this is, I'm like actually feeling this physically in my body yep. right now, saying, like, the words coming out of my mouth there are physically harming me.
That's because you doubted Andrew Knapp.
Oh, my God.
How's it feel? That's a real shame.
Knapp's been good. Knapp's been good.
Nappy.
But it's much more an indictment of Reese Hoskins, Scott Kingery. I mean, like, when Reese came up in those big spots the other night, and certainly to start off the ninth, like, I just feel like, I can't think of anyone. When he comes up with runners on base, I'm always like, he's the last person on the team I want up. I mean, Kingery obviously is the only other person.
Wow.
It's just...
Wow.
It just sucks. It's super annoying and depressing.
No, but it shows growth from you because you're finally starting to realize that Andrew Knapp puts together a good AB, and he's always going to put together a good AB. He's going to call a good game. He's going to put together a competitive at bat, and I don't know. I think he has the fourth highest WOBA in like baseball right now.
Oh my god!
He's a monster.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, would it be the worst thing in the world if they let JT walk and just handed the keys over to Andrew Knapp?
Oh my God! All right.
So you're saying you don't endorse that idea?
There are a few things I endorse less. Alec Baum. Thank God, right? I mean, what a sham of a season this has been so far from the Phillies. Thank you for giving us something here.
Well, wasn't it beautiful to see a number 28 flying around the bases after a double into the left center, into the
left field corner,
left field line,
right down the line. Good piece of hit.
Like. He looks like Morif, you know? I mean, it's honestly though, in a little real talk here for a second, they've clearly been working with his hands, you know, Ochard and the guys down there up at the taxi squad camp up in Lehigh Valley. I fully believe they've been telling him to watch JD Martinez, because what I watched tonight was JD Martinez.
Wow.
I mean, and the fact that we're getting, hopefully you're getting a JD Martinez kind of guy at 24 years old and not like what, 28 when JD Martinez broke out is great. But I mean, it was what we all expected. I mean, a guy that is going to rake here for a long time. Now, I don't think it's going to be the 40 plus homer stuff or 35 to 40 plus homers, which is fine. Like, I think I just think he's going to be a 25 homer, 300, close to a 300 hitter for 10 years. That's what he looks like to me, because he has a really good feel of the strike zone. He can go the opposite way. I mean, he almost hit two homers tonight, you know, in his first game in the big leagues. I mean, I thought the one in the seventh, I didn't think it was going to get out. The one in the ninth, I thought was legitimately either out or off the wall. So I just love him. He looks like a guy, you know, there was a little birdie that had told me up at Lehigh Valley before he got his contract was selected
Jackie
to come down.
Sources.
I mean, like, apparently his last like five at bats, four of them were had an exit velocity of over 100 miles an hour. So, you know, what was annoying me with Boehm in summer camp was like it was singles up the middle that were like barely squeaking through, and like I didn't want to have another Derek Jeter career, you know. I didn't want to have a boring slap hitter that never won an MVP and wasn't even unanimous for the Hall of Fame. You know, I wanted a guy that was going to just hit tanks. And honestly, the first swing that Boehm took tonight, I was like, wow, he's taking some hacks, and he was starting to swing hard. And third base looks fine. You know, it wasn't like the smoothest over there. And can we just spare me with the whole, you know, the first inning with the defensive highlights? Like, dude, he caught the ball and threw it to first base. You know, like that wasn't exactly like a referendum on his ability to play third base.
I think it was probably the greatest defensive play I've ever seen in my life. But
yeah, he's the next Schmitty. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, if Schmitty were better than he was, probably, yeah.
Correct. But no, very, very encouraging stuff from him. And, you know, for as much as this season is not trending in the right direction, just the fact that we'll see Spencer Howard once every 5 days, you know, he's going to start tomorrow night. Thank God.
Yeah, great. I've never been more, and even he didn't pitch well, but I've never been more excited to see Velasquez come in relief because I was like, yes, sweet.
Yeah, we're going to have Spencer Howard and we're going to have Alec Bohm tomorrow night. And quick thing on Vinny, like, if you're going to be nicknamed Vinny Velo, can we throw harder than 93? Yeah. Like, seriously.
I mean, didn't in the first inning of the first start, it felt like he did, and then he's just, yeah.
He doesn't throw very hard. I mean, I get for Klentak, he throws 100, but for people that watch baseball, he throws like 92.
Yeah, well, look, I think that's a great point, especially if, and look, to the, what we said before, I mean, a lot of teams make the playoffs this year. I think it's 25,000 teams in each league are making the playoffs. So it's not over. But having Bohm and Spencer Howard up definitely is something that we can look at and feel excited about past this weird sham of a season. My favorite Bohm take so far that I have seen, shout out to my buddy Matt who texted, Bohm actually looks a little like Fritz if Fritz stopped drinking and started going to the gym.
I think that's fair.
I know. Not too bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, maybe if I grew a couple inches.
Yeah, he's Jill definitely would, taller than you two.
Jill would probably agree, you know. But here I am having a beer and doing a podcast about Alec Bohm. So,
We didn't really talk about the pitching. Is there anything you wanted to say about Wheeler, Eflin, or Jake?
My only takeaway from Wheeler was that he's like rushing to the plate, and that's what I was kind of talking about. Maybe the Marlins series was that, we'll know when he's off, and you can kind of tell in the sixth inning he was off. He was just leaving balls over the middle of the plate. Jake lost his sinker. You know, when he loses a sinker, he's gonna get crushed. You know, you kind of see it coming because what he's doing early in the game was not what was happening in the fourth and fifth. Eflin's great. I love Eflin. I think he's like the fact that he's probably going to be our five in a couple of years is awesome. You know, I haven't really stopped thinking about a future rotation of Howard, Wheeler, Nola, McAbel, and then him. And then, I mean, maybe factor in Kumar Rocker or Jack Leiter Jr. But like, honestly, the staff's going to be
both of those names, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, are both A++ names.
Oh yeah, this is honestly, it reminds me a lot of the Garrett Cole Bauer draft.
Oh wow,
yeah. I mean, Kumar. Who
was the third guy? Was it Danny Holtzman? Was that the other guy?
Yeah. The from Virginia.
Look at that.
Lefty.
You like that pull right there?
I'm actually surprised. because Danny Holtzman, like, I'm shocked the Phillies weren't picking around that area because
he's
like
a perfect
80.
Phillies guy, soft tossing lefty, right?
Yep, 89 and 92, but boy, does he know how to pitch.
And then Bauer and Cole sandwiching or
yep.
whatever. It's like,
great. Yep, yeah. Yep. But he knows how to pitch, so that's all that matters.
Oh, my God.
Other than that, no. Like, Brogdon's a guy that you can bring. Like, I don't know if you can bring him in with runners on base because he doesn't – unless it's – like, that, here's what I don't get is why is everyone throwing so soft on this team? Like, even Spencer Howard was 94 when he's usually 97. Vinny was 92. Brogdon's usually 96, 97. Wheeler's the only one that's kind of maintained his velocity, Nolan the same way. But a lot of the guys coming out of the bullpen that – usually throw harder or their velocity is down. Now maybe that has something to do with being off for the week, but it shouldn't really matter I'm surprised it's having this much of an effect. Like, I'm watching these guys come in, and I'm like, okay, cool. Here comes Vinny Velo. This should be at least 95, 96, especially coming out of the bullpen. And it's like 92. You know, Spencer Howard, I've watched him pitch a lot. It's usually 96, 97. He's 93, 94. So I wonder if it has to do with the layoff. And if they could start throwing harder, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll take it. I think we can say for both of us quickly, Roman Quinn, not a fan. Adam Haseley, get better. And they need to let Adam Haseley face left-handed pitching. We've got to figure out if he could do it at some point. Why not in this sham of season? And also, it can't be much worse than Quinn. All right, Jack. Obviously, we got your take bag coming up and all that stuff. But I've reached the end of my rundown, which ends, and I saved it for last, with one name. And I think people are wondering why we went 43 minutes into this podcast without mentioning this name.
No,
it's over, buddy. What's the official word, man? Where are you at? How you feeling? Brand new Pivetta is now old Nick Pivetta.
Very sad. Very sad. You know, and I forgot to, when I was talking about guys' stuff being down heading to the bullpen, you know, I haven't seen his stuff ever look that bad as it did in his last appearance where he got shelled and subsequently I sat down the day after. We're dealing with it. Honestly,
I like the royal we there. That was good.
I had forgotten about it until you brought it up, and
thanks. That was what I was kind of hoping for.
Sweet, sweet, appreciate it. Just when I was feeling, just when I was having some fun and smiling, getting outside, you know, he gets sent down.
You're happy. Over. You're good. You're fine.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm like, I had to take the one final, you know, everyone piling on. I mean, literally everyone piling on.
Was and it the biggest one, like of all, like the
dude,
mentions?
It had
was
it
because they're always flooded? Was this the just set them on fire type of thing?
Yeah, and then it was aided by the he held the lead,
which to be fair, I don't care what anyone says. I thought that was an all-time tweet. That was such a perfect thing to say in that moment. I actually loudly guffawed. I laughed very hard out loud when I read that tweet.
Well, you know, you appropriately reacted to it. There was many who did not react in the same way.
God, that's amazing. I love that happened.
It was a truly, truly awful night. But whatever. You know, he's going to go down to AAA and come back and save the season.
Hey, man, it can't get much worse. They just got swept by the Orioles, and they got the Mets coming to town, and I'm sure they'll find a way to lose 2 of 3 at least to them.
You know what I can't wait for is Pete Alonso waking up this series. Like, Pete Alonso's been garbage.
Yeah, just
this
like
year.
Acuna was till he got here.
Yeah. Yeah, so I fully expect him to just completely go off. And, like, the Mets have actually been playing better now that Cespedes decided to leave. So, you know, but I don't have a good feeling heading into the series. It's not really a take. I don't think anyone feels
good
heading into
the series.
Dude,
it's like we talked about before. Like, honestly, unless something changes and they make some trades or something, which isn't going to happen, I mean, I don't – where they completely bring up, you know, Damon Jones and other young guys and just see what happens or ever. But even then, like, I just don't foresee any point this season where we can watch a game and feel good about any lead. And that's like a recipe for a not very fun season.
Well, we're feeling it, buddy.
I know.
We sure are going through
you
it.
You got anything in the take bag?
Yes, I do. Oh, Dick Allen.
Yeah. Oh, good point. What so yeah. Well deserved. I mean, not a Hall of Famer, which is the criteria usually. Well deserved. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I think this is a good move by the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think the whole gotta make the Hall of Fame to have your number retired is kind of stupid when you've lost 10,000 or what, 11,000 games now. How about we just honor the great players in the organization, yes, before we get all high and mighty with the whole, you have to make the Hall of Fame to have your number retired here. And it should open up the door. Well, first off, I think Dick Allen's probably going to get in, what, this year or next year?
To the Hall of Fame, you mean?
Yeah, it seems like he's trending in that direction.
Good,
so,
with like a veteran, whatever the Veterans Committee is called now. It's like modern day committee or whatever they call it.
If Harold Baines can make it, I'm sure Dick Allen
is 10 times the player Harold Baines was, and Harold Baines is in. It's a great point.
So, yes, I think he'll get in this year anyway. But anyway, this should open up the door for Utley, Howard, and Rollins.
And Hamels.
And not Hamels. There's no freaking way.
What are you talking about? How could you put the other three in and not Hamels?
Because, dude, because those guys were truly greats. Cole Hamels is not a true great here. He was a good pitcher, but he was a footnote in this organization.
Dude, he was World Series MVP.
I don't care. He was the World Series MVP. You can't, like, Howard,
he won
Utley,
every
and
start
Rollins.
He had in that playoff run.
But why?
Everyone.
We can't just look at 2008. We have to look at the body of the work. We have to look at how they had to bring in aces every single year after that to help with Cole Hamels because he wasn't a real ace. Like, there's like anyone can wear 35 again. Like, for all, like, seriously.
Yeah, I agree that he is fourth of the four. There's no question about that, but no way. You have to put him all in.
Dude, his number should not be retired by the Phillies.
It's got to be all four.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. There's no way. There's absolutely no way Cole Hamels should have his number retired by this team. That is a joke. Those three were actual greats, like on a Hall of Fame track if injuries don't happen. And they were the key cogs to 2008.
Look, they were the
they
three
also
most
carried them.
But not to 2008. In 2008, Hamels was just as important as anyone but Utley.
So why is Alec Bohm wearing Worth's number? I mean, Worth batted .444
in the
Hamels World
Series. Was here a lot longer. I mean, Hamels was here longer than any of them.
Hamels
Other
is
than
not
Rollins,
an.
I think,
Hamels, they had to bring in Lee and Halliday, like
they chose to, and it didn't work
because Hamels was never an ace.
He certainly was an ace in 2008.
He was an ace, and I get it. They won the World Series.
Nick Foles was Super Bowl MVP. I got it.
I just don't think we have to.
Except Hamels had a much longer and more storied career than
Foles. Yeah, I think we overrate this whole championship thing. You know, I'm a body of work guy, and those three guys were actual greats. Cole Hamels is not an actual great.
All right, what
there's
what
no
else,
way there's no way his. There's no way his number should be retired, and if there is, I'm gonna be a one man riot down Broad
Good.
Street.
I'll take you on the other way. It'll be a podcast divided.
I just don't like it. Whatever. All right. Another thing. I appreciate what NBC Sports Philly is doing with the whole "take me out to the ball game" thing they're doing. Have you seen this commercial, James?
No.
Really?
Really?
Okay. Well, they're doing this thing where they're they have, I don't know, team employees or fans or whatever sing "take me out to the ball game."
I don't pay attention to commercials. Also, I watch on streaming, so maybe it's different commercials potentially.
Maybe, but I would just like. I hate when people mess up the fight song. You know, I think people mess up the Eagles fight song all the time. But people are also messing. They put this commercial on where they mess up "take me out to the ball game," and. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes, and I don't care if I ever get back for its fruit, right?
Correct.
And I don't care if I ever get back, right?
Yes.
That's the lyrics.
Correct.
Well, in this commercial, they have "I don't care if I never get back," and that's just wrong. It's wrong. And if we're gonna be a serious baseball team, can we get take me out to the ball game to be right?
Sure. I think this is a righteous gripe, I suppose. Maybe a little nitpicky, but I like it. I think it's fair.
I don't think it's nitpicky.
I think the bigger question is you have a commercial, so why wouldn't you just edit it and tell them to say it right?
"Take me out to the ball game" has been around for, I don't know, 1,000 years at this point. Like,
"Never Get Back." I just looked it up.
It's "Never Get Back"?
Oh, wow, Jack.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not.
I just
it's
looked
not.
It up.
No, it's not. It, I don't care if I ever get back Phil Rutherford. It's not. I don't care if I never get back.
I don't care if I never get back. Yeah. It's
no, that. You've that's never said that in your life. You've never sung that.
That's,
in your life.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. Now, I think I went with you because you were so so forceful.
No. No. I think you're still mad about the Hamels.
Here, let me check another source. That was Wikipedia.
I don't care if I... Well, Wikipedia always lies, even though it got me through my high school career.
No, it's Never Get Back. This is...
Have you ever sang Never Get Back?
I had to think about it. I don't care if I never get back. Yeah, it's definitely never. Jack, you blew this. This is embarrassing. Are you embarrassed? All right, what else you got?
Oh, man, my mic was muted for that. That was a good burn by me.
So did people not hear it? And I get to, they hear my reaction to it? Because that's funny, too.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Dang, just when I was getting the hang of this. Anyway, what I said was that real baseball fans sing Ever Get Back, not Never Get Back.
And I went, ah!
Yes, in your way. I think they're wasting a bright. I think they're wasting a Bryce Harper season, but whatever. And we're five ratings and reviews away from 700. I have no special prize for 700, but I just would be very excited.
Do it for
when
Jack.
I see 700. Yes, please.
It really does mean a lot to him. So please do it for Jack. And even if it requires, you know, using your parents' computer to fill out a review and do it in their name, even if it requires you getting your girlfriend or boyfriend to do it in their name. We don't care. We'll take it. You know, 5-star reviews. We're happy. Right, Jack?
Correct.
Yeah. And we'll take whatever we can get, however we can get it. That's basically what we're saying.
High Hops is in the process of, I would say within a month from now, it'll be in cans.
Boom.
In
that's
Founders. So
actually... big news right there.
So we can drink our sorrows away while we watch this baseball team.
Oh, buddy. All right. Well, we'll talk Sunday. Let's hope that maybe they'll sweep the Mets and we'll be all back in and it'll be super exciting. Do you think that's going to happen, Jack?
No.
All right. Me neither. All right. Enjoy the rest of your vacation, buddy.
Well, I got Spencer Howard tomorrow night.
Nice.
So.
Well, never mind then. All right.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. He's Fritz himself. See you later.